From Tokyo, Japan, and New Plymouth, New Zealand, this is Down to Business English with your hosts, Skip Montreux and Samantha Vega.
Skip, I learned something new recently that I wanted to ask you about, seeing as how you are a professional English teacher.
Oh boy, you are gonna put me on the spot right from the start of the show, aren't you? Thanks.
Don't worry, you can handle it.
Well, we'll see. What's your question?
Can you tell me what the difference is between an initialism and an acronym?
The difference between an initialism and an acronym. Yeah, good question.
Do you know the answer?
Thankfully, yes, I do. Initialisms and acronyms can be found everywhere in business English.
So what's the difference between them?
Well, they are both ways to shorten a phrase or a group of words, but they differ in how they are pronounced. An acronym is where the first letter of each word in a name or phrase are combined and pronounced as one full word.
Okay. For example?
Well, for example, NASA.
Ah, okay. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
That's right. Or another one that comes to mind is POTUS, the President of the United States.
Okay. And an initialism?
An initialism is created by taking the first letters of all the words in a phrase. But unlike an acronym, the letters are spelled out rather than pronounced as a whole word.
Okay, so like the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, and the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, these would be initialisms. You say each letter individually instead of creating a single word from them.
That's right. So, Samantha, why are you asking me about this? You just wanted to test me?
No, it came up in a conversation with a coworker recently. I had never heard the term initialism before. I always considered IRS, NATO, POTUS, and BBC all to be acronyms. I just wanted to get your take on it.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think it's a pretty unimportant distinction. And I personally consider all of them to be acronyms.
It's easier that way.
But that is a good segue into our topic today.
Oh, it is? What is our topic?
A recent business headline here in Japan caught my eye the other day.
What was the headline?
The headline read, JAL flies first freighter in 13 years amid high online shopping demand.
JAL, Japan Airlines, an acronym.
JAL is an acronym.
And this is our topic, JAL starting to operate cargo flights?
Well, not just that. The air cargo industry as a whole has had a bumpy ride over the past few years, but is currently experiencing a welcome uptick. So today, we will look at what is driving this recent surge in air cargo and air freight.
Sounds interesting.
So let's do it. Let's get D2B, down to business with turbulent skies, the shifting winds of air freight and cargo.
The shifting winds of air freight and cargo. That is quite the title.
Too much?
Well, my first question would be, what is the difference between the two terms, air freight and air cargo? I always thought they were the same thing.
Well, the terms are often used interchangeably, but there is, in fact, an important distinction between them.
And what would that be?
Strictly speaking, air cargo refers to items that are transported in the belly of a passenger plane, while air freight is transported on a plane that is dedicated to cargo, an air cargo aircraft.
Ah. I didn't know that. In other words, there are no passengers on board.
No passengers, only freight.
Why aren't they called freight aircraft then?
Well, they can be referred to as either cargo aircraft or freight aircraft. Both terms work.
That's a little confusing. Just so I'm clear on this, air cargo can go on either an air cargo, air freight airplane or a passenger plane, but air freight can only go on an air cargo, air freight aircraft.
That's exactly right.
Okay, got it.
Okay, now, if there is one thing you can say about the air cargo slash freight industry in recent years, it has been on a roller coaster ride.
I'm guessing the COVID pandemic played a role in that?
It certainly did. As everyone can remember, when the pandemic first took hold in early 2020, the passenger airline travel industry was devastated.
It is hard not to forget that. Border restrictions basically shut the entire travel industry down. I seem to remember 2/3 of the world's passenger planes stopped flying.
That is right. And because over 50% of air cargo was being shipped in the bellies of passenger planes, air cargo capacity also dropped at that time, as much as 35%.
Those were certainly unprecedented times.
They were. That loss of capacity resulted in the cost of air freight dramatically rising from 40 cents per kilogram to as high as $4 per kilogram.
Whew, 10 times the cost.
And that was just the average increase across the industry. At the peak of the pandemic in December 2021, air freight from Hong Kong to Los Angeles hit $15 per kilogram.
Cool, that is outrageous.
And at the same time as cargo capacity was shrinking, demand was shooting up.
It was? What was driving that?
The same thing that had shut down passenger flights. The pandemic lockdowns.
Of course. Everyone was locked down at home, shopping online for home delivery. All those products needed to be delivered somehow, I guess.
So this situation, the drop in air cargo capacity, combined with an increased demand for air cargo services, encouraged many airlines to start to convert some of their passenger jets into cargo planes.
That's logical. A good way for them to recoup some of the losses they were incurring from all the canceled passenger flights.
But not a quick fix and not a small investment. It can take up to 4 months to convert a Boeing 777 from a passenger jet into an air freighter. And it comes with a $30 million price tag.
Whew. Even still, I guess it's better than having your plane sitting on the ground.
And a lot of airline executives would agree with you. Aircraft conversion companies saw a spike in their orders in 2020 that continues up until today. Many went from converting 7 to 10 airplanes a year pre-pandemic to converting 25 to 30 aircraft a year.
Is there still as much demand for air freighters now that passenger planes are back in business? That would have increased cargo capacity.
There is still demand, yes. According to Cargo Facts Consulting, the global fleet of air freighters is expected to rise from 1,782 to 2,920 airplanes over the next 15 years.
That's a fairly long-range forecast.
True, but industry experts are also expecting a CAGR of 5.2% between now and 2028.
Oh, initialism alert. What in the world does CAGR stand for?
Nice catch. CAGR is an example of an initialism. It stands for compound annual growth rate.
The business world is full of initialisms and acronyms.
It is. And incidentally, CAGR could be considered an acronym as well. Some people do pronounce it as CAGR, and other people say CAGR.
Well, with a CAGR of 5.2%, the entire air cargo, air freight industry must be pretty happy with that.
Sure, it is a welcome forecast. But having said that, since the peaks in 2021 and 2022, the industry has faced some headwinds.
How so?
Before the pandemic, global air cargo revenue stood at around $100 billion a year. Then, in 2020 and 2021, it more than doubled, according to, initialism alert, the IATA.
Let me guess, the International Air Transportation Agency?
Oh, close. International Air Transportation Association.
Oh, I was close.
You were. Anyway, after peaking in March of 2022, revenues started to drop.
Was that because more passenger airlines were returning to the air, increasing cargo capacity?
That's part of it. Freight volume started to decline as well, and the disruptions that had been plaguing traditional supply chains started to work themselves out. Those two factors played a role in declining revenues as well.
How much of a decline are we talking about?
Again, according to the IATA, revenue in 2023 fell 35% to the $130 billion level.
35% is a lot in 1 year, but revenue is still above the pre-pandemic level.
Yes, but the IATA forecast for this year, 2024, is for a further decrease of 21%.
Oh, but you said earlier that there's been a recent surge.
Yes, in the fourth quarter of 2023, two factors came into play that gave the industry a lift.
I think I might know one of them.
Okay, what do you think?
Would it have something to do with the so-called Red Sea crisis?
Right on the nose, Samantha.
Whew.
What can you tell us about that?
Ansar Allah, or more commonly known as the Houthis, are based in Yemen. And they've been conducting missile and drone attacks against commercial vessels navigating the Red Sea.
And why would that have an impact on air cargo?
Because it has severely put a cramp on container ships going through the Suez Canal on their way to Europe.
Exactly. The canal isn't closed, but the number of containers going through the canal is down to 200,000 a day from their usual 500,000. So more manufacturers are opting for air cargo to get their product to market.
And what is the other factor?
E-commerce out of China. Specifically, the fast fashion companies Shein and Temu. These retailers send packages directly from the factory in China to customers in the U.S.
They send them here, too. Everybody's buying Temu. So is most of this by air?
Yes, by air. Temu ships around 4,000 tons. Shein, 5,000 tons, Alibaba.com and TikTok, another 1,800 tons a day.
Wow, that is incredible. Exactly how many cargo airplanes does it take to handle that?
That equates to around 108 Boeing 777 freighters a day.
Gosh, that sounds so costly. How can Temu and Shein keep their prices so low? That is the hallmark of fast fashion, isn't it? Low prices?
Well, it isn't sustainable, not from a profit or an environmental point of view. Temu says they are looking at securing more warehouse space in the U.S. to reduce their dependence on air cargo for fast delivery. But for the time being, they are eating up capacity.
And if the trend continues, air cargo rates will start to climb again.
Which could push out traditional air cargo customers like Apple and other electronic makers.
Bad for Apple, good for air cargo companies.
And it could be bad for consumers too, with rising prices of imported goods.
Always falls on the consumer. So the skies are not only turbulent for air cargo, but for everyday shoppers, too.
And that would not be good for anyone.
No, it wouldn't.
And on that note, I think it is time for us to get D2V down to vocabulary.
For our first word today on D2V, we're looking at the adjective turbulent,
which is right in the title of today's episode. Turbulent skies, the shifting winds of air freight and cargo.
When you describe something as being turbulent, you were saying it is changing quickly and creating a lot of confusion or disorder.
I am sure all of our listeners have been on a flight when the airplane hits air turbulence.
Just last week for me, I know I have, not a number of times.
You know, I once was on a flight from Tokyo to Hong Kong that experienced major turbulence. The plane was slamming up and down almost the entire way. And the seatbelt sign was on the whole time.
Oh, that doesn't sound like much fun.
And even worse, the flight attendants couldn't serve drinks. It was not only a very bumpy flight, it was also very dry.
Well, for whatever the reason, turbulence does make for an uncomfortable ride.
It does. And since our report was on air cargo and air freight, I thought it would be a good word to use in the title.
It was a nice metaphor, yes.
Is that what it is? A metaphor?
That's exactly what it is. Turbulent skies literally refers to rough or unstable weather conditions that can affect flight. But metaphorically, it represents the unstable and changing economic conditions within the air cargo industry.
Look at that. I'm a poet and I didn't even know it.
Can you give us an example using turbulent in a business context?
I could. One of my clients here in Tokyo is in the import business. They import goods from both China and Europe. Over the last 2 years, the company's profit margins have experienced a lot of turbulence.
Why is that?
It's mainly due to the currency rates. The Japanese yen has been really weak, which means it is more expensive for them to import from overseas suppliers. But when they turn around and sell those products in Japan, they can't just increase their price to their customers. So their profit goes down.
It sounds like a turbulent business situation. What is our next word?
The next item on our list is the noun phrase, one's take on something. A person's take on something is their opinion or viewpoint on a topic. Samantha used this phrase in the introduction of the episode when we were talking about acronyms and initialisms.
I said I wanted Skip's take on the difference between them.
How would you use this phrase in a business context, Samantha?
It's a great way to ask for someone's unique insight or opinion on a topic. Imagine you're in a meeting where a new marketing strategy is being proposed. You might turn to your colleague and ask, what's your take on this strategy?
A very professional way to ask a person for their thoughts.
To wrap up today's D2V, let's talk about the idiomatic phrase, to give something a lift. This expression means to improve something, make it better or more successful.
That phrase was used in our report when we were discussing what has recently helped improve the air cargo industry.
It was. Skip told me about two factors that gave the industry a lift. The Red Sea crisis and high demand for Chinese e-commerce products.
Can you give us another example using this phrase?
Sure. There's a coffee shop in my neighborhood that has been around for ages. It's always been popular, but in recent years, their customer base was shrinking due to other coffee shops opening.
Competition.
Competition indeed. So they added live music on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, and that really gave their business a lift. I can never get a seat there now.
Would you like to help D2B reach more people wanting to improve their business English skills? Be sure to follow D2B on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place podcasts are found. While you are there, leave a rating and a review and tell everyone how much you enjoy the show.
Thanks for that report on shifting winds in the air freight and air cargo industry, Skip.
You are welcome, Samantha. I hope everyone found it informative.
I did. Not only do I now know the difference between cargo and freight, I also am clear on the difference between acronyms and initialisms.
That's great. D2B members, the bonus vocabulary for today's episode will be released within the next 24 to 48 hours.
The five additional words and phrases we will be discussing are to be put on the spot, a surge, a headwind, to come into play, and to put a cramp on something.
So if you are a D2B member and are not subscribed to your member-only RSS feed, be sure to go to your member account on the website to find it. And if you are not a D2B member, do consider becoming one. Not only do you get all of our bonus content and have access to the audio script library, It is a great way to support the show.
To become a member, go to d2benglish.com/membership and sign up.
That's d2benglish.com/membership. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.
Take care.
Have a comment or question about today's show? Don't be shy. Visit the D2B website or Facebook page and post any comments or questions there. Skip, Des, or Samantha will be sure to leave a reply. Down to Business English. Business news to improve your business English.